Thursday, September 8th, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. There were incredible developments yesterday in the investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 virus. The investigation that should have happened in February of 2020, but is only finally just happening now. But last July, during testimony before Congress, Fauci categorically denied that the United States has funded any gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. When Senator Rand Paul suggested otherwise, Fauci replied, quote, "You do not know what you're talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say that officially." Well, now we have new internal documents from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the organization headed by Fauci. For some unfathomable reason, these documents had to be obtained by The Intercept through a Freedom of Information Act request when they should have been made publicly available for everyone to immediately see last year. But these documents reveal that Fauci either lied or simply didn't care about verifying the truth, all to protect himself. For instance, here's a grant that Fauci's organization chose to fund, quote, "Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence." Under that grant, an organization named EcoHealth Alliance received $3.1 million to study bat coronaviruses. That grant included $599,000 of taxpayer money, your money, hard-earned blue-collar money, specifically for the Wuhan Institute of Virology to identify and alter bat coronaviruses that might infect humans. In the words of Rutgers professor Richard Ebright, quote, "The materials confirm that the grants supported the construction in Wuhan of novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses that combined a spike gene from one coronavirus with genetic information to another coronavirus and confirmed the resulting viruses could infect human cells." Close quote. The newly published materials confirm that these altered viruses were more capable of infecting humans than the original coronavirus being worked on. And then Ebright says this, quote, "The documents make it clear that assertions by the NIH director, Francis Collins, and the NIAID director, Tony Fauci, that the NIH did not support gain-of-function research or potential pandemic pathogen enhancement at Wuhan lab are untruthful." So a year ago, you would be called a conspiracy theorist and censored online for suggesting too loudly that the Chinese coronavirus, which emerged about 10 feet away from the country's biggest virology lab, might have leaked from a lab. A big reason they did that is because Dr. Fauci lied to the public, just like he incompetently whipped back and forth on masks, on lockdowns, on the virus itself. Now I want to go back. I want to read some quotes from Dr. Fauci. All of these statements he made under oath before Congress. Quote, "The NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology." Here's another one. "We have not funded gain-of-function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology." Here's another one. "I don't favor gain-of-function research in China." My personal favorite. Quote, "I don't know how many times I can say it, Madam Chair. We did not fund gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology." At minimum, Dr. Fauci is grossly incompetent and should be fired immediately. The fact that he's held the same job for the past 37 years is already a stinging indictment of our fake meritocracy. Getting rid of him is just the first step towards fixing things, but honestly, this level of dishonesty may step beyond incompetence. This could be criminal. The possibility certainly deserves to be investigated. If a person died in your home and you lied to police about what the reason was, do you think that you would be investigated? So why shouldn't Fauci be investigated for lying about the cause of 500,000 deaths? And what we've seen already is minuscule in comparison to what's to come. The virus boasting a recovery survival rate of nearly 100% seems to be the least of our concerns. Already, VAERS tells us the shot being called COVID vaccines have led to more adverse events, more deaths, than all previously approved vaccines combined. Now, with an unreliable vaccine adverse events reporting system that a Harvard study tells us only accounts for 1% of actual instances, an eye-popping roughly 13,000 people are reported dead. Think about that. These injections have been available for less than a year. And if what we're told is accurate, It's possible that 1.3 million people have tragically and senselessly lost their lives because they were lied to. And the lying and deception continues. We have been told that hospitals are overrun with COVID-19 patients, with Delta variant patients. We're preparing for the very dangerous Mu variant. But we're hearing from hospital whistleblowers that that is not true. One of them joins us next. Go nowhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
For a limited time, Mike is offering his queen-size premium MyPillow for just $29.98. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STU or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use promo code STU.
From the beginning, we have been lied to about COVID patients filling the hospitals. We are now being told that Delta patients are filling the hospitals. We wanted to find out if that is true. I am joined right now by an anonymous nurse whistleblower. She's currently working at a hospital and has been since the beginning of the COVID-19, quote, pandemic that originated from Wuhan, China. We now know funded by Tony Fauci. She wishes to remain anonymous. We're going to call her Sarah for now. Sarah, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your bravery.
Absolutely.
So from the beginning, we have been told hospitals were overrun. They were at their breaking point. There was an influx of patients. They could not be sustained. The hospitals were overrun with COVID patients that were sick and dying. Has that ever been true?
No, that has not been true. It is the overflow we have had mostly has been since the vaccination rollout, where we've had patients periods of time where we've had overflow into the emergency rooms, but it was not ever COVID, specifically respiratory COVID.
Okay, so at your facility, what has been the protocol for somebody that comes in presenting with this group of symptoms referred to as COVID-19?
They get a PCR test, and if they're negative, they're put on the main floor, and if they're positive, they typically go straight to the isolation COVID ICU, depending on the level of symptoms. So it's all basically based on that one particular test.
And have you worked in this COVID ICU?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard about the PCR test and the failure surrounding that?
No. And that is the sad thing. In the hospital, everyone takes that test as gospel. So if you get a positive test, no matter what your symptoms, even asymptomatic, you're already on the COVID track going to the area where isolated, gown, gloves, your level of care is completely different. Even if you have, it doesn't matter if you have respiratory symptoms or not. That's the thing.
So in other words, somebody who doesn't have COVID-19 could be put into this COVID ICU with COVID infected patients.
Exactly. They get a completely different level of care.
And then what is the protocol for those people?
Well, they're basically, you know, depending on the oxygen saturations for whatever, it could be pneumonia, it could be other respiratory issues. The COVID ICU is basically a floor where everyone is isolated, gown, gloves, the minimal access to staff, no visitors. It's completely different than.
Are they getting remdesivir? Are they getting put on ventilators? Is that kind of what the standard thing? I mean, this is what we have been told, yes. Is that they're slammed with remdesivir and put on a ventilator.
Basically, yes. The standard care is remdesivir.
And of those patients that go on remdesivir and ventilators, do the majority of them die or do the majority of them survive and recover?
Most of them do not do well. A lot of them do pass away. Remdesivir itself has caused kidney issues, heart issues. Those patients typically do not do well.
Wow. So the things that have been reported on this program are that remdesivir was a dangerous drug. Anthony Fauci knew that. The CDC, the NIH, those that are dictating protocol to hospitals are very aware that remdesivir causes kidney issues, sends fluid to the lungs, the ventilator then explodes the lungs. People are drowning, essentially, and you have seen this firsthand.
Yes, absolutely. This has been the standard medication since the beginning. Over the summer, there was a period. Originally, it was all remdesivir. There was a period over the summer, actually, when our COVID numbers were low and almost gone, where remdesivir was combined with ivermectin. Now that is phasing out and it's going back to completely just remdesivir by itself. So there was a period where it was a combination of the two with some patients.
So the ivermectin-treated patients, did they seem to do better than those not treated with ivermectin?
Yes. In my experience with the patients that I have seen, yes, remdesivir alone, they don't tend to do well. They tend to have cardiac issues during their hospital stay that they didn't have before, or ones that they had before are exacerbated by the remdesivir. A lot of kidney issues. Many patients go on dialysis that were not on dialysis before. The symptoms that go, the other issues that go along with this are not good.
So are doctors or providers allowed to prescribe remdesivir or administer, or excuse me, ivermectin? Are doctors allowed to administer ivermectin to patients any longer?
I don't know of any restrictions or not restrictions. There was a brief period of time where I started seeing it with remdesivir, and now that's phasing out. I'm not seeing it very often at all. So I don't know what the doctors are told, whether or not they can, but it was just a brief time where I saw it combined.
All right. We're told that the Delta variant is very dangerous. The Delta variant is flooding the hospitals. Now there are a bunch of sick people in the hospital because of the Delta variant. So a very specific question. In your hospital, is there a test for the Delta variant?
Absolutely not. And in fact, there is no word or mention of the word Delta variant in any note from any doctor, from any outside office feeding in, specialist, urgent care, emergency room. I have not seen that word, the word Delta variant, in any chart. The only place I have seen the word Delta variant is in the letters going out from the hospital administration to the staff, quoting reasons why they should get the vaccinations.
But no patient has been diagnosed with the Delta variant?
No.
None?
COVID-19.
Okay. So
it's all termed COVID-19. There's no test for Delta variant that I'm aware of.
Okay. So we can assume that the Delta variant is being labeled COVID-19. That's fine.
Correct.
And every variant from here on out will just be labeled COVID-19. But the media
nothing changed from before Delta variant came out. And now in the charts or in the patient's symptoms or anything, nothing changed. There's no exacerbation once they started talking using the term Delta variant. Those patients have not changed at all.
What about the number of sick people? Have the number of sick people changed?
No.
Okay. So have you seen an influx of patients recently?
No. The influx I have seen is since the vaccination rollout, and it's more vaccination-related injuries, blood clots, cardiac issues, neurological issues, balance issues, cognitive issues, aggressive behavior, encephalopathy, things like that that are very different from the previous COVID.
So the patients that are in your hospital under your care right now, the majority of them are in fact not COVID patients, but they are vaccine injured people?
Yes. Yes.
Do the doctors, do the providers report these adverse events, these vaccine injuries, to the vaccine adverse event reporting system?
I have not seen one instance where they have. In fact, when staff approaches doctors about this, whether it's noticed by the staff or noticed by the patient's family, they're completely dismissed. I have not had one doctor acknowledge anything I have said when a patient's family or I've noticed that it's been around the time of vaccination. They're completely dismissed.
Mentioning a vaccine injury to a doctor is falling on deaf ears. They don't want to hear it. You're not allowed to talk about that.
They will not acknowledge. They will actually stop you mid-sentence. I mean, it is completely blatant.
Okay. So this is all blowing my mind. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to take all of this in. We suspected all it is. Well, it is, but it isn't at the same time because we have suspected this all along. So would you articulate that the cases being labeled COVID-19 and then by the media translated into new Delta surge, that those patients are actually patients that are presenting with symptoms from this vaccine, these shots?
Absolutely. The staff that's aware, because now it's kind of, you know which staff is aware of what's going on or acknowledging it and which staff doesn't. It's almost, we almost label it. The Delta variant is the vaccine injuries. That's what it is. It's common knowledge around the staff that is aware of what's going on or paying attention or not in denial.
And the people that are bringing this to the attention of the doctors, it's falling on deaf ears. They're cut off mid-sentence. How many people that you work with, would you guess, percentage-wise, are going to refuse this shot?
So far, about 50%.
And are they going to be terminated?
When the mandates come to our facility, yes. As far as I'm aware.
So up to half of the people that work at your facility could be gone. And the only people that will suffer are those that need care. The only people that will suffer, I mean, other than you, of course, if you're fired because right. you have a religious or a medical exemption, none of that matters, is what we're hearing consistently across the country. What is the one thing that you think is most important that the public is being lied to? Would you consider it to be the vaccine injuries? What, the floor is yours. I mean, just tell the world right now what the reality is from a frontline worker who has dealt with COVID patients from the beginning and still deal with this media craze. And you're seeing the truth firsthand. What do you want the entire world to know?
I want the world to stop watching the news. It is absolutely false. It is creating a false fear. I would go through COVID, the actual initial part of this, 10 times over easily compared to what I have seen with this vaccine rollout. The injuries and the loss of life and the loss of function. People are walking into the hospital with breathing issues, and a lot of these people are not going out. They're not leaving. People with normal levels of life that were actually caregivers to their family are coming in, and they're changed forever, and their family is now taking care of them. This is horrific. This vaccine rollout is a nightmare, and the media is completely not telling the public any truth to what is actually going on with these vaccines.
Are the doctors pushing this vaccine on the patients that are there?
Yes. And what's sad is the doctors are very aware of the effects of these. They can't not see them. If staff like myself are aware, and we have nowhere near the level of education as these doctors and specialists, and they're pushing these on, it's, and when you question them, you're shut down. It's a nightmare.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that these doctors are being paid? Are they being threatened? Where is this protocol coming from?
We have no idea. We just know it is an unwritten rule. You can't talk about it. And they are pushing it at levels I've never seen. And the administration is pushing it on the staff. It doesn't, none of this makes sense. Why are you knowing the results of these? And the staff that's awake, we see, none of us are going to take these. We see what it's doing to patients. We're helpless.
So doctors swear what we know as a Hippocratic oath. To where when they enter the patient's home, they serve only the patient. So if prior to this entire pandemic, if somebody were to come into your hospital, broken leg, heart attack, stroke, kidney failure, liver disease, pancreas issues, whatever it is, the doctor would have treated them, found any way that they could possibly heal this person and make them better. When the coronavirus COVID-19 first came here, we were under the presumption that care providers were looking for ways to treat these patients. Since the inception of this vaccine, these shots, it now seems that doctors not only are not performing or living up to their Hippocratic oath, but they're actually contradicting it blatantly right out in the wide open and actually acting in a way that hurts or kills patients.
Yes. I no longer trust doctors' care. I'm there for the patient, and I'm literally having to point out to some of these patients that these vaccines are the reason why they're in there. Some of these patients have come in after only one dose, and they're being talked into getting the second one when they leave the hospital. I mean, it's insane. I have to tell these patients, do not get the second dose.
Well, I'm thankful that you're doing that. And I know that the families of these people that are very vulnerable, I mean, they're in the hospital begging for help, being isolated away from their families, no contact, no advocates, being denied the right to try, being denied the treatment that they're requesting, and basically given a death sentence. This looks like murder for money to me. I really appreciate your bravery, and I know the reasons why you can't come forward, and I respect that. When this thing is all over, people like you will be on the right side of history. Sarah, and I know that's not your real name, but thank you very much for coming forward and for telling the truth. We appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do.
The lies are continuing. Natural immunity, obviously the way to go, and you can help to supplement that with protocols, early treatment protocols. Dr. Zev Zelenko, here's my PSA for him today. I promised you that I would give you this daily. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. It has the quercetin in it, which is the gun, and then it has the zinc in it, which is the bullet. It's the COVID killer. Dr. Zev Zelenko saved 99.9% of high-risk COVID patients under his care. Thousands of patients in upstate New York were successfully treated by Dr. Zev Zelenko. So here's my PSA for you, my reminder of the day. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Check it out for yourself. Go to ZStackProtocol.com and stay healthy. Well, last week I told you about some of the brightest doctors at Mayo Clinic. There's cardiologist Courtney Bennett. She's a real peach. Her advice to unvaccinated people that get sick is please go die. Then there's this psycho, General Surgeon Mark Sawyer, who posted his lurid fantasies about getting to deny sick people healthcare, staring them in the eyes and saying, it's too late, watching them expire. Well, it might not surprise you that we have more. I was recently pointed to an interview featuring Dr. Gregory Poland. He's the director at Mayo Clinic's Vaccine Research Group. He's also a paid advisor to vaccine maker Johnson & Johnson. No conflict of interest there. But for all of his degrees, for all of Dr. Poland's supposed expertise, he's still a nut job about masks. He ended a recent video interview on Facebook Live, sheltering at home, of course, by condemning schools that don't have mask mandates. Parents, please protect your precious children, he said. Now keep in mind, there's no mask mandates in British schools, when they're otherwise much more restrictive than we have been. There's also no evidence that masks in schools do anything to change infection rates. And there's still plenty of evidence that children are at almost zero risk of serious harm from COVID-19. This isn't science. This isn't medicine. This is the cult of the mask. And how about this? Dr. Gianrico Ferrugia, he is the president and CEO of the Mayo Clinic. But that's not his only job. He's also the health governor with the World Economic Forum, which has been generating propaganda in favor of worldwide vaccine passports for travel. Oh, but don't worry. In a May article about vaccine passports, a World Economic Forum writer noted, there are civil liberty concerns about vaccine passports, and so any rules about them would have to be fair. So who did the World Economic Forum suggest could set these fair rules? Why, the World Health Organization, of course. The same World Health Organization that has repeated Chinese propaganda since the beginning of the pandemic. The same World Health Organization that denies the existence of Taiwan to avoid offending the People's Republic. The same World Health Organization whose leader, Tedros Adhanom, covered up cholera outbreaks in his home country of Ethiopia. Oh, and just because these connections are fascinating to discover, here's another one. Matthew Horace, who currently serves as the chief security officer for Mayo. We're pretty sure he doesn't set vaccine policy, but who knows these days. Anyway, what's Mr. Horace's other job? What would be the most ridiculous job this guy could possibly have? If you guessed chief of security for the DNC, you'd be close, but you'd be wrong. Because there's something even more ridiculous. Mr. Horace is also the chief of security for Dominion Voting Systems. His LinkedIn biography notes that he leads the company's IT security and cybersecurity initiatives. And I know that you can't see it, but he actually misspells companies in his profile. Also, his college degree is in English with a master's in leadership. And this guy is in charge of organizing cybersecurity for one of this country's largest, most questionable voting machine companies. You can't make any of this up. Joining us now is a Stu Peters Show contributor, Lauren Witzke, with Reaction. The medical cabal has completely been put in place. The cybersecurity expert of Dominion Voting Machines is now the chief security guy at Mayo Clinic, home of these fanatical, radical doctors that want unmasked and unvaccinated people to just buzz off and die.
Right. Well, what you're seeing is the beast system. You know, now I don't believe that the COVID-19 vaccine is the mark of the beast per se. However, we've been able to see firsthand how they have aligned the beast system. So they have put people in place in these positions, undeserved positions, that's very obvious, who are going to do what the global establishment tells them to do, what the beast system tells them to do. We have doctors that are saying that they refuse to treat patients if they are unvaccinated. You know, not only are they doing that, they're purging the good ones out. You know, they're doing a really good job of that. If you're noticing, people, good doctors, good nurses are losing their jobs. And that's a way for them to continue this beast system and place people in the exact positions where they need them when they do strike.
And that beast system hates you. It hates your freedom. It hates your liberty. And it's coming after you.
Yes. So, and the beast system knows that masks don't work. They know, based on studies from Israel, the vaccines are not effective. They're making people sicker. You know, they try to claim it's the a pandemic of the unvaccinated. How about the data that doesn't show that? And they know that. And they know they're hypocrites. They know all of this. However, they cancel all dissent. Anybody who could oppose their beast system, you know, even though they know, you know, they know that we know that these are masks are ineffective. They're more so hurtful to little children. However, they don't care about little children. They hate us, like you said.
So you said that you don't believe this shot, these shots being called vaccines, to be the mark of the beast. But soon we have now learned that Bill Gates has a patent for blockchain technology that will control the tracking of these vaccines. We can assume that soon it may be very plausible that you won't be able to buy things, you won't be able to travel. So if this isn't the mark, what is?
Well, you know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, we would know and we'd make the decision to take the mark of the beast intentionally. So that is why I do not believe that the actual vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, is the mark of the beast. However, everything that they have aligned, the mandates, the inability to travel, interstate travel, the inability to buy and sell, go to the grocery store. You know, we're already seeing it in other countries and other continents like Australia. You know, this is all part of the beast system. It's a precursor to the mark of the beast that is coming next. You know, they said that there's going to be a mass deception. You know, there's going to be one who rises up, who claims, I have the cure. I have everything. You know, you have to drop everything and follow me. But only thing you have to do is take this mark. You know, so what they're doing is they're setting it up. This is all a precursor to the mark of the beast. Now, I don't believe that the current vaccine is. I think that this is a mass death scale injection. You know, people are getting hurt. People are dying. They're suppressing information about it. You know, and this is the reality of it. You know, what this vaccine is, it's very dangerous. People know it's dangerous. People know they have the data that it's ineffective. However, they're still mandating it on people. You can't go to work unless you get the vaccine. But they're also using it as a way to purge the good people. Look at what they did to the military. Look at what they're doing to good nurses who love their jobs and who love the people they care for. They're losing their jobs. But also they're using the vaccine as a way to purge each other out as well. Other nurses are getting the good nurses fired because they're telling their patients, hey, you're breastfeeding, I don't recommend getting the vaccine. I've seen babies get hurt. You know, it's a way for them to purge the good ones out as they usher in full control to implement a full beast system, mark of the beast economy, mark of the beast, in order to buy, sell, get an education. It will be mandatory to be a part of this beast system. And that is what they are lining all of this up for. And that's what you're seeing. You know, at least we are able to recognize it so we can try to stop it now.
Yeah. I mean, all of the lies are being revealed. All of the information is being exposed. I mean, the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, has an eye-popping 13,000 some odd deaths reported. That is more alone on its own, those 13,000, than all previous vaccines combined. And that, we are told, according to a Harvard study, is only reporting 1%. You're looking at upwards of 1.3 million people possibly already dead as a result of this shot. That, by the way, is only one system. On top of that, we are told that there are 11 more systems that we're not allowed to see. In about a minute or less, what is it going to take if we know all of these things for the majority, I cannot believe that there hasn't been a complete entire, like 95% world uprising. The media is complicit in this. What is it going to take to silence the media who is lying and leading people, a massive amount of people, toward a global genocide?
Well, what you're seeing is the media is it's the propaganda arm of the beast system. You know, whatever they say goes. I know there's a lot of journalists out there that are probably like, I don't want to lose my job, so I'm just going to do what I'm told. You know, there are no good journalists left. They are just, their whole purpose is to create a lie and push that lie on the people to make it believable. If you tell some people a lie so many times, it becomes the truth. You know, I want to encourage people to seek truth, you know, get in God's word. You know, it's right there what's going to happen. And he equips us to fight back. Use discernment to fight back, because we are in some dark times. But you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing Christians getting involved. Christians getting emboldened and stepping up, getting involved in the school board meetings. You know, we have parents who are stepping up for their children. The enemy has overplayed his hand and crossed the line, and people are waking up. But I want to encourage you to keep fighting. We will not go down without a fight.
That's right. I couldn't have said it any better. Well, you're amazing. Lauren Witzke, brilliant, very intelligent, and we hope to have you back sometime soon. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All of these snakes, all these tyrants, you can step on them. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get a 3-pack of socks for just $17.76. So many different designs to choose from now. I'm loving the ones that they're coming out with. You can only find the designs at steponsocks.com. But here's what I want to tell you. When you do business with steponsocks.com, you're supporting this platform because you're supporting one of our sponsors. They'll be happy and they'll continue doing business with us. But rest assured, you are doing business with Patriots. 100% true and true, through and through, dyed in the wool, USDA, choice, thoroughbred Patriots. I have come to know these people personally. One of them, a medical doctor who left the field completely because she was just absolutely sick about what she was seeing. And that inspired her to start Step On Socks. Go to steponsocks.com right now. Find the classic version. Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, Biden, their names on the bottom of this thing. You can step on these snakes, empower yourself. It's a real sense of satisfaction, plus a conversation starter and a red pill design. There are also other versions that include people like Pence, Cuomo, Whitmer. There are people like Bush, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, all these people. Trader Joe, that version is available, plus my favorite, the Trust in God sock. Also, you will find silver at steponsocks.com. You will find Second Amendment flags at steponsocks.com. Get huge discounts when you mention the name Stu Peters, and you go shop happily with Patriots at steponsocks.com. Well, a brand new segment. It's brought to you by MyPillow.com. What a patriot, Mike Lindell. Make sure you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Stu at MyPillow.com. The segment is called Ask Dr. Jane. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now, where she takes directions and questions directly from you. She doesn't take directions from me. She doesn't take directions from anybody. You can find her in Proton Mail if you have a question for her, Dr. Jane Ruby at ProtonMail.com, or you can hit her up in her Telegram, Dr. Jane Ruby. The first question comes from Dawn Slyke. Interested in learning of any reports of vaxxed people around young babies. Great question. Causing shedding transmission issues for the babies beyond rashes, which are bad enough. Already know about two breastfed babies who died after their breastfeeding moms got COVID shots from hell. Unbelievable.
Well, Stu, the FDA calls it shedding. Pfizer calls it exposure. And scientists call it transmission. But whatever you call it, something is definitely causing many people who are not injected to become ill around those people who have been injected. Now, I've brought a number of stories to your show, countless reports of people complaining of flu-like symptoms, vaginal bleeding, miscarriages, postmenopausal bleeding, and even blood clots. And it's happening in those never injected, simply hours after being in close proximity to the so-called vaccinated. And now Dr. Lee Merritt is reporting that her patients are complaining of scrotal rashes and testicular pain after intimacy with their non-jabbed in their non-jab patients with jab partners. Here's what we do know. Pfizer has their protocol out in the public domain on page 67. And I'll give you the title so people can find it. And I know you can show it on screen as well. A phase 3, 1, 2, 3 placebo-controlled, randomized, observer-blind, dose-finding study to evaluate the safety, tolerability, immunogenicity, and efficacy of SARS-CoV-2 RNA vaccine candidates in healthy individuals. And here's the point. On page 67 of that protocol, there are warnings about what they call exposure happening to pregnant or breastfeeding women from injected persons around them. And yet millions of doctors, the CDC, the FDA, are all pushing this poison into pregnant and breastfeeding women. Even though the package insert, now that we have the new package insert from the approval, says, quote, there is insufficient data to establish safety in pregnant or breastfeeding women. Now, Stu, because these companies are getting away with hiding the true ingredients, the rest of us are left to kind of piece this thing together as we go along. And that's why it's been so challenging to answer the question.
Yeah.
I also wanted to point out that furthermore, the FDA has its own guidance document. These are documents they put out to industry to tell them how they want things done. Sounds like, you know, kind of benign guidance document, but it really is a requirement. But they have their own guidance document on shedding. So they know. Okay. And you have actually, I have a copy of it. You can show that first page, design and analysis of shedding studies for virus-based gene therapy. Now, the other thing I wanted to report on that has to do with this shedding phenomenon is we also are learning that there are efforts underway to develop what's called self-disseminating vaccines. And just as scary as it sounds, it's actually covert inoculation without your knowledge or your consent, just from being in close proximity to an injected person. Now, I'm not saying this is out yet or this is part of the technology that's out in these four shots. We really don't know that yet. But as you can see from this picture, there are countless efforts in these articles, many articles that are attempting to expose this and reveal it.
Yeah, and they've been talking about this for a very long time. I mean, for decades, they've been talking about that self-transmission, those self-transmitting, self-spreading vaccines, if you will. And we suspected that that was going to be coming. And you talked about pregnant people, which brings me to the next question. If you're okay with me moving on from another question from your Telegram, comes from Robert Hayes. Dr. Ruby, is there any data on vaccinations of pregnant women? Someone I know is posting data promoting pregnant women should get the vaccine. I heard somewhere that many miscarriages have occurred. Is there any evidence of that? If so, where can I find it?
Sure. Well, the truth of the matter is pregnant women were actually excluded from the trial, the Pfizer study. You can find that in the protocol, as well as breastfeeding women and babies. So when the FDA approved the injection recently, they did not require that those excluded populations be listed under a section called contraindications in the package insert. And this is what tells doctors to avoid giving it, that it's dangerous to give it to those subpopulations. So Stu, this means there's no safety demonstrated in their trials. And what we do have, though, is very seriously high numbers of miscarriages, stillborns, and newborns bleeding to death in VAERS. And we shouldn't discount VAERS. VAERS is actually an incredibly valuable early warning system. So let's go on to our third and final question.
All right. It comes from somebody that calls themselves in Telegram Light Revealed. What stockpile of med supplies should we have on hand in case things go down like interrupted supply chains?
That's a great question, Stu. My list is not exhaustive, but I'll tell you where I focus in a few areas. I would say in general, 6 to 12 months of supplies if things go down. And I would focus on things like your go-to over-the-counter medicines or things that you get in the drugstore. If you are on prescription meds for any medical morbidities, you want to do at least 12 months, whatever your insurance won't pay for, you should get the rest of that. Most prescriptions are for a year. You should pay it out and get it so that you have it. Also invest in a very extensive, not just a typical small drugstore version, but a very good solid, a comprehensive first aid kit, and take the time to learn how to use it. I would also add water filters so that you can take water from any source and get it filtered. In general, there's a lot of great information still on the internet on self-sustaining strategies and supplies, so you can check that out.
And we know that everybody believes everything that they read on the internet.
Yeah, well, listen, there's a lot of good stuff on the internet,
there is, yeah.
Especially for self-sustaining.
We're on the internet,
right?
I
hope everybody's enjoyed this segment. I do try to read every one of your comments and questions on my Telegram and Proton Mail, though I might not be able to respond to everything.
Dr. Jane Ruby at protonmail.com or t.me/Dr. Jane Ruby. I like this segment. Ask Dr. Jane, brought to you by MyPillow. Make sure to use promo code STU.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night, and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
For a limited time, Mike is offering his queen-size premium MyPillow for just $29.98. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STU or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use promo code STU.
Well, I got a text this morning. It made me jump up out of bed. It was from Liz Harris. She said, today is the day America has been waiting for. Now, Liz Harris has been canvassing in Arizona. She's been a fervent worker in these audit efforts that are taking place there in Arizona, and she joins us now. So, Liz, this is the day America's been waiting for. That's what you text me this morning. What do you want to tell us?
Okay. So I've always said, may Arizona be the first domino to fall. And here we are. So we released today our report of our findings in Maricopa County. Now, I want to let the viewers know that we have been canvassing the entire state since the first week of December 2020. And what we ask people, we never ask them who they voted for. We ask them what method did they use to vote. Did they vote in person or did they vote by mail? We ask them if they received extra ballots, what they did with the extra ballots, how many registered voters are supposed to be here, and how many actually voted. It is important to let your viewers know that we just don't go to the people who state who have a record of them having voted. Now, Bobby Payton has been instrumental in all this because he recognized the phantom voters back in November 2020. And so when we go to these homes, we go to all registered voters. We ask the questions I just mentioned, and here are the findings, okay? So now we went to, for the last 2 months, this is just the last 2 months. We have a lot of other data, but we wanted to make this as scientific as possible. So we went to 11,708 addresses, registered voters, and then we interviewed 4,570. So this is a very large sample size. Now, of the people who we did not have a vote record recorded for, that's 964, 330 of them said, I voted. And according to our records, there's no vote recorded for them. So that is 34.23% of the active registered voters who do not have a vote recorded for them, that there's a high likelihood that they actually voted. So when you do the extrapolation, that number does not come out to 10,457. That number is far greater. And those of you who are following Arizona, you know 10,457 was the how many votes Trump lost Arizona by. But this is far bigger than the presidential race. This is down ballot races. Anyway, when you extrapolate that finding of what we're calling lost votes, that is 173,104 votes that we need to further investigate. The canvassing isn't over. We're just beginning. We've got to go to a lot more houses. So did you follow me on that? So we are.
So yeah, you're saying essentially 34% plus of people who voted, their vote didn't count. So the number, just over 10,470, what? 10,400 and some odd votes is what Trump supposedly lost by. And we're talking about over 100,000 people whose votes were not counted.
That is correct.
That's insane. So what resistance are you meeting for continuing the rest of the canvassing?
I would love to have Senate President Karen Fan include this as a continuation of the Maricopa County audit and let it be part. It was written up as part of the scope. Our canvassers are great. They're trained. We have a custom app. let us be an official part of the state audit.
And this is despite the efforts, including radio ad campaigns that came out meant to demonize canvassers as harassers. And have you call the police on these people? I mean, and you call the number, it doesn't ever go to anywhere. I mean, it was a clear, slanderous, basically libel that was done about these canvassers trying to trash them. So these 100,000 votes, do we have any idea how they got lost, where they went?
That's why the Splunk logs or the logs and the routers and all these things that the people of Arizona have been asking the County Board of Supervisors to turn over. That's why we've been asking, because I mean, I'm not a law enforcement, but I mean, this really needs to expand into a criminal investigation at this point.
100%. So is this enough to make this an uncertifiable election? I mean, how can you certify an election that has a discrepancy this large? And you mentioned the down ballots too. How many elections are not certifiable?
Our data shows that this goes back in time. But Stu, I'm not even done. There's another group, and it's 96,389 votes that need to be investigated. And this group is the phantom or the ghost voter. So those are the votes coming off of the vacant lots. Those are the votes when we visit a house, the person says, I've lived here for 20 years. No, those people don't live here. Yeah, I get extra ballots. I put return to sender on them. That's the phantom voter. So we have a case of a phantom voter, and it's in our report. And our report is available to everyone at canvass50.com. Again, that's canvass50.com. And in that report, we talk about a woman. She rented a room out. That person moved out over a decade ago. The woman receives a mail-in ballot for this person every election cycle. And ironically, the ballot gets voted. And even in 2020, the ballot got voted, even though the woman held on to the ballot. So I want to make it clear, when we canvass, it is not the house or the person there or even the previous resident that's doing this. This address is part of the systemic five-letter F word. Systemic fraud is essentially what it is. And again, this is why we need those logs with the timestamps. And then we need to continue canvassing throughout Maricopa County, Arizona, and get this information to the state Senate, to Cyber Ninjas. It's really important. And then they got to make sure they get the log files so we can marry up all this together and finish, you know, putting the final ties to how everything happened in 2020.
Who is it that is specifically stalling this?
I would have to say the County Board of Supervisors and the Elections Department.
Okay, so all of the County Supervisors Board and the Elections Department is saying that this audit effort is all for naught.
Correct.
And now you're saying that there's close to 200,000 between the phantom voters and the ballots that did not get counted, plus instances of people that are getting counted where the ballot remains either on her counter or in her trash can. She specifically held on to them, did not go vote with that ballot. But this answers the question as to why politicians are treating politics like pro wrestling, because it is. The outcome has already been determined. If I get a ballot and it's sitting on my counter and that ballot is counted, that tells me the election was predetermined a long time ago. I mean, that is white and black, solid, indisputable evidence of fraud, not only on behalf of voters, but in the entire system. This is systematic fraud, period. This election cannot be certified. And I'm assuming that in the down ballot, that includes Republican victories as well, that more than likely will not be able to be certified. So we're going to ask Seth Keschel if there's a mechanism for this, because he's joining us here in just a minute. But the so what now is the big question that I have.
So we have to recognize that mail-in ballots, they need to be limited to the military and the severely disabled, not the person who has a handicap placard and is running circles around the parking lot. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think you get my point.
Absolutely.
If your vote is not important enough to make it to a small precinct polling location, so there's no line. All right, so it's the mail-in ballot. And then the other thing I'm really pushing for during this redistricting is we have to get the precinct sizes smaller. They're trying to do away with precinct voting and just let me vote anywhere in my county. But if we bring it back to the precinct level of 1,000 registered voters or less per precinct, we've got to get rid of the machines, hand count, get all those numbers centralized by 10 p.m. at night so that when we go to sleep, that winner that night is the same winner the next day.
All right. Amazing stuff, Liz Harris. And of course, they want you to be able to vote anywhere in your county. It just adds to the confusion, the pandemonium. It puts everything into disarray, makes it a whole lot easier to cheat. They're doing everything that they can to set these things up in a system where they cannot be caught. But you caught them. You caught them. This canvassing effort, all of your time has now paid off. The evidence is there. So now everybody who's saying we have to fix 2020, here's how we do it. Now what's going to be done with this information? And that is the pressure. Those are the people that you need to pressure to get this thing done right now. That Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, the elections people, that is who needs to hear from you right now. I mean, this is indisputable. We're going to put these graphics over at stupeters.tv. And where else can they find them, Liz?
So what we're actually encouraging everyone to do is go to canvass50.com. And we're actually asking countrywide for people to indicate if they voted by mail or in person. And then what we're doing with that data is when your area is ready to start a canvass, you've got a head start. There's no one running for office collecting any money off of this effort. This is a true grassroots effort. We want you to start canvassing in your area. And again, that website is canvass50.com. And then you get a free copy of our slides and the report and all the good stuff.
Yeah, this isn't a grifting effort here. Nobody's getting rich off of these efforts. And your time that you have donated and the amount of work that you have been doing and that you have sacrificed the time away from your family and other businesses and ventures, you are a true American hero. Liz Harris, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we're joined now by Captain Seth Keschel, who has been a part of these efforts, dedicated all kinds of time. We've seen a lot of your data. You heard what Liz Harris had to say right now. So these seem to be really significant numbers, and I don't want to overstate this. That's why I want to have you here. Liz Harris says this is the day that America has been waiting for. Do you agree with that assessment?
It's absolutely important. People have been screaming, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Even though last week we had True the Votes evidence on Georgia's ballot harvesting operation that was going on, we've had nothing but affidavit after affidavit alleging election fraud and documenting election fraud for the last 10 months, in addition to eyewitness accounts that are more obvious, like the boarding up of the TCF Center in Detroit or getting rid of Republican poll watchers in key areas throughout the country. Very significant day.
Okay. So speaking of significance, the sample size that Liz is dealing with here and her team of canvassers, is that sample size significant enough? Do you believe that the size represents a broad scope, a realistic look that, hey, this thing is very demonstrable. We have 100% evidence that this election should have never been certified.
She has receipts. You can go through her work, and she has documented all of these on affidavits. They have a special software that generates an affidavit for every interview. So you're right to point out that people who oppose transparency into our elections, they're going to try to shoot down the canvassing findings as statistically insignificant based on the size of Maricopa County's voter database. But if you want to really talk about this, every election season, you pick up the USA Today at the airport, it's going to have a poll front and center. Biden leads Trump in this state. Here's the national polling. Those polls are oftentimes made up of samples of 500 to 1,000 voters, which are considered credible.
Precisely. I was just going to say that. And those polls feature a much smaller sample size. We got to stop right here because I'm up against a hard break. The rest of this conversation can be found exclusively at stupeters.tv because I want to ask Seth Keschel about the mechanisms, what we can do now that all of this. So we have all this now. So what? Right? That's the question that we need to talk about. Right now, as we move forward, again, We're out of time on the regular program, but go to stupeters.tv, stupeters.tv to get the rest of this interview with Seth Keschel. So Seth, hold on just one second. I want to remind you that the entire program is brought to you by Cortez Wealth Management. Oh, speaking of Carlos Cortez, he's doing much better. He returned home today, I believe. That's the last update that I had, and he should be back with us again tomorrow. If not tomorrow, for sure on Monday by next week. Until tomorrow, at this time, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way that you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, may they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. By the way, speaking of sample size, how about over the weekend on Saturday, all those people in their F Biden chants? Is that a big enough sample for you? Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!